Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, March 10th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A career program in Fresno County is giving high schoolers a rare look inside the fast-paced world of emergency dispatch.
The adrenaline, you're like, hands are shaking, you could hear gunshots going off in the background. Like, it gets your nerves up, but you have to like remind yourself to calm down.
It's one of only two programs of its kind in the U.S. We'll have that story coming up, but first, these headlines. Fresno Democratic State Assembly member Joaquin Arambula is responding to news reports about his divorce filing that revealed he underwent rehab for substance abuse. Arambula told local news outlets that he voluntarily checked himself into rehab and completed the program in February. Arambula said he's asking for the public's understanding during this time. His wife filed for the divorce in January. Arambula is currently serving in the State Assembly, but is now running for a seat on the Fresno City Council. He's hoping to represent the 3rd District. And speaking of the Fresno City Council, a man seeking office was deemed ineligible last week. Rene Campos has recently generated headlines because he is a registered sex offender. He was planning to run for the Fresno City Council's 7th District. However, the county's registrar did not get enough signatures to support his candidacy, and now Campos will not appear on the June primary ballot. His candidacy shocked local residents who questioned his ability to govern, given his criminal history. A new bill would guarantee the future of California's popular State Library Parks Pass program, which provides 33,000 passes annually. But the state's nonpartisan legislative analyst office is urging lawmakers to reject the proposal. Cap Radio's Gerardo Zavala reports.
Brian Metzger with the LAO says they encourage the legislature to set a high bar for new spending proposals as the state faces an $18 billion deficit.
We find that this proposal does not clear that bar.
Santa Barbara Democratic Assemblymember Greg Hart authored the bill. He says his goal is to codify the program into state law.
But it doesn't specify the funding level that would always still be subject to budget reality.
Hart says the program's $7 million price tag is small compared with the state's $350 billion budget. Over 8,000 people checked out a pass from the Sacramento Public Library system last year. Todd Deck with the library.
I would compare it to, like, having a James Patterson or an Emily Henry book, but even more. It's something that people really do love and rely on.
Deck says the program also brings new visitors to state parks and new patrons into libraries.
By diversifying access to parks, the parks' usage is going to grow. Their programs and offerings are going to deepen. It also benefits libraries.
Deck recommends visiting a local branch in person since some passes are only available for checkout at the library. In Sacramento, I'm Gerardo Zavala.
The former manager of a popular Fresno restaurant is now out of ICE custody after being held for 9 months. News outlets report that Salm Baypour was released from an ICE facility following a federal court order requiring bond hearings. Baypour was a manager at Pismo's Coastal Grill in North Fresno when he was detained at a routine check-in last summer. City officials in Fresno celebrated Baypour's release, and the owner of the restaurant also said that Baypour will be back at work. One of the first known drawings of Yosemite Valley has a new home. Last week, the Library of Congress announced it acquired a 171-year-old drawing by Thomas Almond Ayres. It's titled The High Falls, Valley of the Yosemite, California. The library says Ayres used his drawing to carve a plate of the image for printing presses, called a lithograph. The lithograph was then taken to different newspapers, allowing many to see Yosemite for the first time. Both the drawing and the companion lithograph will be preserved at the library. And you can check out the image for yourself by going to loc.gov.
Your news day doesn't have to end after Central Valley Daily. Check out KVPR's broadcast, where you'll get top headlines, in-depth analysis, and some fun pop culture coverage. Stream KVPR online at kvpr.org or through your smart speaker.
And now to our main story.
911 dispatchers are often the first voice people hear in an emergency. But across the country, it's getting harder to find people trained to answer those calls. Two programs in the U.S. are trying to change that, and one is right here in the San Joaquin Valley. KVPR's Samantha Rangel brings us inside this student program in Madera.
Inside a trailer at Matilda Torres High School, you might think you were inside a real 911 dispatch center.
911, what's your emergency?
Computer monitors glow, keyboards click, headsets are on, and voices overlap. Jacqueline Gutierrez just got off a call.
It was like a woman calling because her brother got stabbed in the stomach. And she was just like yelling and crying, and I'm like, your nerves get all like jittered up.
This wasn't a real call, and she isn't a professional. She's actually a high school senior studying criminology, and she's inside the state's first mobile 911 dispatch training center.
Can I have your name, sir?
Even though the calls are simulated and powered by AI, Gutierrez said they feel real the moment she puts on her headset.
It did feel really real, like in the adrenaline, you're like, hands are shaking, you could hear gunshots going off in the background, like, it gets your nerves up, but you have to like remind yourself to calm down because you have to be calm in that situation because you're the one helping the person.
The trailer was recently unveiled by the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools. It's for students in a career technical education program, and it travels to high school campuses across the valley that offer criminal justice courses. The goal is simple: give students real-world training early and prepare them for careers in public safety. They also earn college credits in the process. Raina Martinez is a dispatch supervisor with the Fresno County Sheriff's Office. She helps run the simulations, and she says the intensity of the training is intentional.
We can choose like the voice, how the voice sounds, like if they're panicked, if they're polite, if they're whispering, if they're yelling. We can also create like background noises, things like that, to make it as realistic as possible.
Students answer the phone, ask questions, and gather all the critical details, just like in a real emergency.
I try to base it on actual calls that we have, like the type of scenario. Other things will obviously be changed for them, and then made so that it is appropriate for high school students.
When the call ends, an AI tool scores their performance based on how well they handled the emergency. This kind of training is becoming increasingly important. Across the country, dispatch centers are struggling to find workers. In 2022, a study by the federal government estimated nearly a third of emergency centers reported high vacancy rates. Martinez says that means fewer people answering calls when someone dials 911.
There is definitely a shortage in most dispatch centers, but when we have high school students that might be interested in it, hopefully that can help that.
This classroom is one of only two of its kind in the entire country. The other is in Las Vegas. Simon Palacios teaches the criminal justice course in Madera. He says this is a promising career path.
There's just hundreds, if not thousands, of dispatching opportunities across the United States.
He says experiences like this help students understand what these jobs actually require, like staying calm under pressure.
Anytime the educational system brings in some real life experiences, it really helps the students engage what is needed to have an understanding of what it's like in the real world.
Senior Noah Cosentino says this program has changed the way he sees the profession.
This is like the first time I've experienced anything like this firsthand. So like, it really opened my eyes even more to how stressful it is to be a dispatcher.
He's enlisted in the Coast Guard for the next 6 years. Afterwards, he hopes to become a sheriff deputy.
This is honestly the best class to give me the most experience and knowledge in this field, in the field of law enforcement.
The dispatch trailer will stay at Matilda Torres for 2 weeks. Then it moves on to schools in Clovis, Carruthers, Mendota, and more. And it will come back again next year with more real-world training. With KVPR News, I'm Samantha Rangel.
And Samantha joins me now to discuss her story a little more. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Liz.
Okay, so you actually spent time inside the trailer while the students were training. What was the environment like?
I definitely saw this like heaviness in the air. I mean, all these students are sort of like on edge of their seats. Like, I saw a lot of them taking a big breath before picking up the line because, I mean, as you can imagine, these scenarios, they have no idea what's coming. So yeah. I'm looking around and all these students are, you know, sitting there propped up in front of their monitors and just really worried. But I mean, they had a lot of control. They were super focused. Most of them maintained their composure really well and were asking all of the right questions, you know, straight to the point, but being respectful at the same time, which was super cool. And the inside too of the trailer looks like a dispatch center. I mean, there's monitors lining both walls and like the lights are dimmed. So it just definitely felt real, at least for me.
Yeah, yeah. What did some of the other students have to say about the criminal justice program and the new trailer?
I talked to a lot of the students after they got out of the trailer, and what I saw was that once their call was over, they kind of get a little bit of chance to look at their scores, look at what the AI tools have provided them with, some of the tips maybe, and then they have this sort of debrief period with Reyna, the dispatch supervisor, to go over some of those key pieces of info. She's just checking with them to see, did they get the names? Did they get the address, the location, what the situation is? And so she's just asking all these questions just to confirm that they are on the right track. And then once the students rotate and they're done inside the trailer, they go outside with me and Mr. Palacios, their criminal justice teacher, to do more of a casual debrief, kind of what they were feeling. How did they approach it? And were they nervous? And it's just more casual, more of a friendly conversation, which is super cool.
Do you have examples of the different types of emergency scenarios that the students were responding to? Because I was pretty fascinated by the fact that they were using artificial intelligence to make this feel so real. And I thought that that was really unique, that they weren't exploiting people's personal stories, but actually creating a simulation of what it would be like to have this job.
Some of the situations I talked to with the students about was maybe someone being robbed at their store. One that a lot of people said was stressful was a baby being locked in a car outside of a Walmart. And so a mom or a passenger had seen it from like maybe the car, one car away. And so they're asking to get this baby out. And then Reyna told me that she tries to give these calls or prepare these calls in a way that isn't boring per se. I mean, a lot of dispatchers sometimes get these like loud noise complaints. And so she's like, well, yeah, those are still important, but I'd like to give them ones that can help them to learn how to control their nerves, which is super interesting.
Yeah, and like you say, keep that composure in a serious situation. You talk about how there's a nationwide shortage of dispatchers. Do we know how big of an issue that is?
I mean, I did some research outside of being at the trailer, and it seems to be a very serious issue. I mean, you see that there's all these big gaps, and I mean, that can result in response delays or burnout, especially for the dispatchers. These dispatchers work long shifts, and I'm sure it's exhausting. I mean, so many applicants are falling through the cracks, and it feels like it leaves this like smaller pool of qualified people to do it. So having applicants who have good typing abilities, who can multitask, and of course, most importantly, just make sure that they can stay calm in these stressful situations is important. So it's already hard to find people because the work is shift based. So, you know, that includes holidays, weekends, things that people usually don't want to give up. So
that's a good point. And I'm sure you have to have the right temperament to be able to handle a job like this day in, day out. Do we know why Fresno County decided to bring this type of training to local high schools? I mean, it sounds like it's a fairly new concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second in the U.S. The other one is in Las Vegas. And so I talked to one of the coordinators at the county level. His name's Alex. And he told me that the goal was to build a stronger pipeline in the valley. He told me a story about a teacher in Madera he spoke to that was talking about a shortage of dispatchers in the valley. And so that really made it clear to him that there was just a struggle here. And so he acted on it. He'd actually seen a mobile trailer with the Madera County Sheriff's Office that he was really interested in looking more into. And then, of course, you get to the design phase and figuring out how to make this possible for their criminal justice programs in the valley. So I think the goal overall with Fresno County doing this is to just serve so many districts, whether that's Madera or Fresno County, and just make sure that you can reach as many students as possible to give them this opportunity.
KVPR reporter Samantha Rangel, thank you so much for this innovative reporting and for taking time to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Samantha Rangel, Carrie Klein, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.